Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. Gospel of John, chapter 1. John opens his Gospel by immediately presenting Christ, not as the Son of David, or as the Son of Man, but the Son of God. He's the life and the light. The sun is shining, but who knows it but believers? He came to open the eyes of the blind. If you're blind, you don't know if the sun's shining or not. Look here at John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And in the margin there, it says that word power, the right or privilege. You imagine having the right to become the son of God? Which were born, and this is why we believe right here, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him. If you read verse 1 and verse 14 together there, let's read those again. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is our gift of God and the hope of this believer. Let us pray.
Let me to John chapter 17. It's pleasantly surprised Paul and Mindy coming in. Read these first six verses and just comment on them and then get to my message tonight. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. That sixth verse is what I want to deal with tonight, but our Lord Jesus Christ, in this prayer, he first prays for himself before he utters a single word for his people. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in praying for himself before he prays for his people, he shows that in all things he has the preeminence. And he sought his own glorification that the Father might be glorified in his glorification. I want you just to glorify me so that I'll glorify you. And I finish the work that you gave me to do. And as we look at the pleas for our Lord Jesus' own glorification, there's seven of them before I get into my message. First of all, he sought his own glorification because of his relationship with God. He called him Father. Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. that wonderful relationship. One, if he glorifies the Father and the Son glorifies the Son, the Son glorifies the Father, the Father the Son, they both get all the glory. And that's the whole point of the gospel. That's the whole point of this word, is that God and his blessed Son gets all the glory in everything that's said and everything that's done. And secondly, because of the appointed time had arrived. He says, Father, the hour's come. The hour's come. That time is come. That time has come for me to go back to where I was before. Time for me to go through this awful hour of suffering and pain and agony and death. That hour has come. And the third reason why he sought to glorify himself was because of all the authority God had given him over all flesh. God had given him all authority. And he said, that's why he sought his own glorification. He says, thou hast given him power over all flesh. They'd been given to him. This authority, this power, this right had been given to his blessed Son. God did it on purpose, and God did it by promise, because he promised all that he had been given to him and all that he had power over, that he is going to give them eternal life. He wasn't going to try to. He wasn't going to make an effort at it. Going to try to make a way to save them. He said that he would give them eternal life to God's elect. And that giving of eternal life had been given to him, been promised to him. You give me the people, and I'll give them life. You give me power over them, and I'll give them life. And you know who I'll give life to? As many as thou hast given me. And this eternal life was given to him. And by giving eternal life to the elect, he would bring them to a knowledge of the Father. Ain't that what he said there in verse 3? By giving eternal life to the elect, he'd bring a knowledge of God to them. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. When it says the only true God, that excludes every other God. That excludes every other idol to be worshipped. That excludes. God is exclusive in this business. There's a message I heard by Jeff, somebody up in if I could think of his name, but anyway, he's up in Indianapolis. And he preached a message on the exclusivity of God. God's exclusive in all of his power, all of his glory, and all of his word, and all of his promises, and all of his purpose. God's exclusive and puts salvation in his Son, exclusively in his Son. Exclusively, Christ is the Savior. Exclusively, Christ is the sacrifice and only sacrifice and only sin offering. And he exclusively is the only one who can save a sinner. And he exclusively makes them to be sinners. And that's what he said here. He said that they might know thee, the only true God. And so in giving eternal life, he makes them to understand and gives them a knowledge of the Father. And the sixth reason why he sought to own glorification before he prayed for his elect is because he had glorified the Father on the earth. He said in verse 4, I've glorified thee on the earth. This is where God was dishonored. This is where the fall took place. This is where men fell away from God. This is where God's got to be honored, where fellowship has to be restored, and men must be reconciled on this earth. And he glorified him on the earth. And the seventh reason was because he says this, I finished the work. I finished the work. God's the only person that can say something's been done before it's ever been done, because it's going to be done. And as far as God's concerned, it's already done. And only they can speak like that. And these are the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ asked the Father to glorify him. These things he did, the things that were given to him in covenant as our surety and as our mediator, he fulfilled them. He finished the work. And the second part of our Lord's prayer here is he prays for his disciples. He starts in verse 6 and he is down in verse 19. Verse 6 says, I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. The last thing he prays for them is this, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. Now listen to this. That they also might be sanctified through thy truth. So that's where he starts praying for his disciples. And here our Lord Jesus is praying for living disciples. Men that were there with him then. Them people who heard him pray. And he had a lot of people who followed him at that time. He's praying here for the apostles. And though but the apostles are representative of all believers. They're representative of all believers. What he pleads and prays for them is common to all believers. I read tonight about a common salvation. It's common only to the scriptures. It's common only to the Lord's people. There's nothing common about it as far as a common salvation, but it's common to us. We all got the same thing. We all believe the same thing. And so here's what he says, though I'm praying for the apostles here. The apostles are representative of all believers. And what he pleads and prays for them is common to all believers. And he first describes the ones he's about to pray for. And he don't ask a blessing for them. Here's the thing about it. He don't ask a blessing for them. We think, you know, and he will ask blessings. And he does pray for us. But our Lord Jesus Christ don't start out asking blessings for us. That's not what he does. The first thing he does is says, I've manifested thy name unto them thou hast given me. And our Lord here comes before our Father and before the Father as our intercessor. He comes before the Father and presents his own along with himself. He said, I and the children that thou hast given me, he comes along with them himself. Look with me in Exodus 28. As our great high priest, and that's what this is. This is God lets us listen to our high priest pray here. And our Lord Jesus Christ, and look in Exodus 28:29. And our Lord Jesus, he presents his own and he brings himself, he comes along and he brings himself those that are his own with him. And he said here in verse 29, showing you when our great high priest went before the Father. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. When our Lord Jesus Christ went into the presence of the Father, what did he have us? Where did he have us at? In his heart. In his heart. And when he goeth into the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually, when he goes in the presence of God, he goes with our names on his heart. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. When he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ here is doing as our great high priest, as he goes into the presence of the Father here now. Our names are upon his heart as he enters into the presence of his Father. And what in the world makes this possible that he goes there as our intercessor? As he goes there and takes our names upon his heart, what makes that possible? He said he finished the work. It's based on a work that's finished, a work that's accomplished. He said, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. And so he can do that because the work's done. He can bring us with him, and if he don't bring us with him, we don't get to come. And if he don't have us on his heart, and don't have our names on his heart and our names on his breastplate, we don't get to come. But boy, when he goes into the presence of holiness and goes into the holiest of holies, he takes us right along with him. Right along with him. And look what he says here. In verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men that thou hast given me. And what he's telling us here is that he made known the Father's name to more than just these 11. Than just the 11 that were with him where he took the Lord's Supper with. He had made known, he said, I manifested thy name. But more than just to the 11. He made Mary. Remember Mary and Martha? They both knew the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Mary fell at his feet weeping. Martha got on, you know, tried to tell the Lord, said, listen, I'm working here and I'm doing all kinds of things. Why don't you get Mary up here and help me? Said, oh no, we're going to leave Mary right where she's at. So he manifested his name to Mary and to Martha and to Lazarus. Don't you think the name of the Father was made known to Lazarus? When our Lord Jesus sat and ate with him after he raised him from the dead. And Nicodemus, he made his name known to Nicodemus. And Zacchaeus, come down. Salvation must go to your house today. He manifested the name of God to Zacchaeus, that Gadarene maniac that nobody could tame. When our Lord closed him and set him at his right mind, you know what? So he made his name known to the Gadarene maniac. And I'll tell you something, he's manifested the name of the Father to all of us who believe right now. His Father, thrice holy God. There's more than apostles had been given to Christ. Ain't that what he said? I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. More than apostles had been given to Christ. More than the apostles has kept his word, which says they kept thy word. And when he says, I have manifested thy name, and what that means, beloved, is to make the Father's name, and it means to reveal the Father, reveal him, to manifest his character, to display his attributes, to see, make people see God in all of his perfection. Look with me at Psalm 22, in verse 22. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he came to reveal the Father. In fact, I said it last week, where the Lord Jesus Christ, when Philip said, show us the Father, and that'll satisfy us. That'll be sufficient for us. We won't worry about nothing else if you'll just do that. He said, Philip, have I been with you such a long time, and you've not seen me? He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So everything about the Father's name and his perfection and all of his attributes were manifested in his Son. Look in verse 22. This is what our Lord Jesus said here. I will declare thy name unto who? My brethren. I and the children that thou hast given me. In the midst of the congregation, I'm going to praise you. And that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did all the time he was on his earth. You know where God's perfections were clean, seen more than any place else on this earth? In his blessed Son. God's character, you want to know something about his wisdom, his holiness, and his power, and his grace, and his judgment, and his holiness? Everything about God was displayed in his blessed Son. Every attribute of God was seen in his Son. If you see Jesus Christ, you've seen all you're ever going to see about God. And what Christ teach you about the Father and manifest his name, that's all you'll ever know about God, is what he himself teaches you about his Father. Oh my, listen, everything was manifested. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. And how did he manifest our Lord the Father's character? And how did he manifest his name unto his people? By using his words. He says, the words that I speak, they're not mine. They're not mine. They're my Father's who gave them to me. He told me what to speak. He told me what to say. He put these words in my mouth. I'm not just down here saying things just because I want to say something. Things that come out of my mouth, they got power to them. They got grace in them. They got judgment in them. They got truth in them. And he said, and listen, he manifested God's character and holiness and attributes in the words that he said. And that's what you were talking about, that word, just capitalized, word, word, word. God communicates by words, and God communicates with men by one person. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, his blessed Son. And then by his miracles. Who could do? God, he done miracles only God could do. Nobody ever raised the dead like our Lord Jesus Christ did. There's men that did it in the Old Testament. They'd lay on a man. Elijah laid on one person, but when Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, he just spoke to the dead. Just spoke. Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Who could walk on water but God? Who could take a maniac that nobody could, with chains around him and everything, nobody could do anything for him, the Lord Jesus? When the Lord Jesus Christ come, he got in his presence, that man got just as calm as he could possibly be. They didn't have to go to a psychiatrist, didn't have to take any pills. No. He got in the Lord's presence and he just bowed down. Just bowed down. He saw who it was. Oh, my. And in his teaching, oh, what teaching our Lord taught us. What blessed teaching. And oh my, I've often wondered what it would have been like to sit when our Lord was sitting in a boat or sitting on a hillside and listen to him teach. Listen to him teach. And every situation he'd be in, somebody would come and say something or do something and interrupt him, and he would take that opportunity to teach them something. Brought the woman in adultery, he used that opportunity. He was sitting there teaching one time. They brought a fellow and let him down through the roof. He used that to teach that only God can forgive sins. Everywhere he went, whatever was done, he manifested God, clearly seen as God. And oh my, so as to reveal him, to make the Father's name, to manifest his character. But I tell you something, but only those given to him were able to receive this. John said it over 1 John 2:13, says, you just don't need to look at it. He says this, he said, little children, you have known the Father. How do you know the Father? I taught you about him. I manifested him to you. And that's what he said, little children. And then look what he says here again in verse 6. I've manifested the name unto the men which thou gavest me. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. This is the sovereign election of God, is what this is right here. He says, they were thine, you gave them to me. This is a special company given to the Lord Jesus Christ, to peculiar people. They're his in a special way. How were they his in a special way? God gave them to him. He gave them to him in a covenant of grace before the world ever began. Ephesians 1:4 says that we were given to him before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ain't that what it says? And so we were eternally his. And this is something that I love about God. And love, and I'm thankful that God taught me this, is that since God is an eternal God, that everything he does is based on eternity. Life is eternal. Purpose is eternal. Promises are eternal. So everything he ever purposed to do from eternity, once it starts happening and when he carries it out, it'll last through all eternity. There's no time with him. It's all eternity. So he had me eternally chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I didn't know it until God crossed my path with the gospel. And then when he crossed my path with the gospel, God taught me these. That's what we're saying. He manifested to those that was given to him. And I've learned about election. I learned about being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. I learned about being justified even before I believed. Because everything that you find out about God is always in the past tense. And if it's in the past tense, that means it's going to happen. And it's already happened as far as God's concerned. But that's why we preach the gospel. There's a whole bunch of folks out there that's chosen in Christ for the foundation of the world. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to tell them about God's sovereign election. Somebody's got to tell them about Christ and his glorious perfections and his attributes and his blessed person. And they not only were given to him eternally before the foundation of the world, but by God's immutable purpose, they were always his. Look in Romans 9:11. This is the perfect illustration of what I'm saying. Scriptural illustration of what I'm saying. In Romans 9 and verse 11. You know, God has an immutable purpose. And we're just talking about that. For whom he did foreknow, that's who he called. Them he called, what did he do for them? He justified. Them he justified, what did he do for them? He glorified them. So what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? Look in Romans 9:11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, sovereign election, thine they were, thou gavest them to me, might stand not of works, but of him that called. Children hadn't been born yet. God said, I've got a purpose of election. I'm going to love Jacob. Esau, I hate him. Don't want him in my presence. Don't want nothing to do with him. I hate him. But I love Jacob over here. And that's what our Lord said. Those that they were thine, thou gavest them to me. And as they heard him pray, it says, thine they were. They were always his. And he says, thou gavest them to me. And here's another thing. That means, beloved, when they were given to Christ, they became his responsibility. They became his responsibility. You know, if we, you know, people, I remember a fella coming to my house years and years ago. Oh, Hebner, you remember Brother Hebner? He come to my house years and years ago. And he said, you know, he said, I understand, you know, where you're going with this election and sovereignty and grace and all that. He says, you go ahead and preach that. Said, I'll deal with the other. I'll deal with the other side of it. Human responsibility. You know where our responsibility, you know where our responsibility begins and ends? S-I-N. That's all we got that belongs to us. And we don't have enough power, enough ability right now to do anything, in and of ourselves. If God don't do it, it won't get done. We want Him to do it. We pray for Him to do it. We desire for Him to do it. We want to submit to Him in everything that there is. But bless His holy name. The minute He took me upon His heart in the eternal covenant of grace, and I brought me to faith in Christ, He became responsible for me that day to see me all the way to the end. Responsible for me to believe, responsible for me to keep on believing, and responsible to get me all the way to glory. And you reckon He'll get the job done? Oh my, what comfort, what assurance. And He says, Thou gavest them to me, given to Him as sheep to a shepherd. If David, took care of the sheep out there on the sheepfold and him just a child, if he slew a bear and slew a lion just to protect his sheep, what do you think the son of David's going to do? You think there's anybody that could possibly whip him and take one sheep away from him? He said, I give them eternal life. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. Nobody's ever plucked them out of my hands. And you know what that means? You're in the Father's hand, the Son's hand. As old Tim James said, that's a double-fisted salvation. You know, He got you just like that. Oh my, given to Him as sheep to a shepherd, given to Him as sinners to a Savior. Oh my, given to Him as a sinner to a Savior. Oh, what are we going to call Him? Jesus? Why? Because He's going to save His people from their sin. Huh? I'm not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Given to Him as being absolutely responsible for. Our Lord Jesus, He said in John 6:37, you all know this well as I do. Most of you could quote it and me just shut up. But all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I'll not in any way, under any circumstances, ever cast him out. There's not a believer in this building tonight that if God was ever going to cast you out, you've done things, said things, went places, acted ways, that God would have cast you off that quick. But He ain't never going to cast you off. He didn't cast David off when he was with Bathsheba. He didn't cast Noah off when he was drunk. He didn't cast Peter off when he denied him three times. And we've all been, if we ain't actually done it, we've all thought it. And bless His name, He said, I'll never, under no circumstances, cast them out. And you know why? Not that we don't deserve to be cast out, but because He finished the work. The blood's been shed. Satisfaction's been rendered. God's been glorified, and the Son sits now at the right hand of the Father. And then He says, and of all that you've given me, I haven't lost a one. Not a one. Not a one. Will He be faithful to His Father who gave them to Him? Who trusted us to His care? Will He be faithful? You imagine if a single one of God's elect were to perish, what would the consequences be? You could not imagine the consequences in heaven. If God was to let one of His elect perish, God would lose His veracity. He'd lose His power. He'd lose His glory. And people in glory would always be afraid. Something's going to happen. Get us out of here. But listen, that ain't going to happen. That's an impossibility. And look what He said here in the last part of this verse. You gave these men to me, these people to me. And listen to this. They have kept Thy word. They've kept Your word. And what does it mean to keep His word? It means to believe it. It means to believe it. You have faith in His Word, faith in what He says. Secondly, it means to obey it. They've kept your word. They've obeyed your word. And thirdly, it means this, to keep thy word means to stand guard over it. Stand guard over His word. We do guard His word, don't we, Paul? We guard His word. His word's precious to us. The truth is more precious to us than anything. And the truth about our Lord Jesus, we stand guard over the gospel. We stand guard over the God. Stand guard over the people that God lets us preach to. We stand guard over them. Guard over the truth so that they can just hear nothing but the truth. And all these men that he called, and he says they've kept thy word. He called them. When he first called them, you know what the scripture said? John and James were working on their boat. And he said, just walk by, and they was mending nets. And he said, follow me. You know what they did? They quit mending nets immediately and got out of their boats and followed him. Faith and obedience. When he calls you, you'll do the same thing. They left all. And they continued with him. They continued with him. Look at John 5:38. You know our Lord Jesus, when he was teaching, and he says, no man can come unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. Nobody can come to me. And many disciples, they said, these are such hard sayings. Don't want to follow him anymore. And he turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life. Look what he said in verse 38, John 5. And here's the difference. We continue with him by his word. He said, and you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, you believe not. Now the opposite of that is, his word abides in us. And we believe him. That's what he says. They have kept thy word. We've continued with it. We've continued with it. And oh, beloved, I'm going to tell you something. He's speaking here of these men keeping his word, following him and obeying him and guarding his word without taking notice of their weak faith. He never said anything about their weak faith. He said, I've got lots of things to say to you right now, but you can't get them. You can't receive them. And their failures to apprehend the word, their unbelief. He never said anything about that. They didn't understand it a lot of times, didn't apprehend it, but he never said anything about that. You know why he says they've kept thy word? He's presenting his disciples before the Father in his perfection, in his blessed person, in what he accomplished, in who he is. You know, the only way we can come into the Father's presence through our Lord Jesus Christ's obedience, through his love. And you know his love thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. He don't think no evil. Nothing but love comes from his heart for us. Satan accuses us. The world condemns. But our advocate takes our part. And he says, they know you and they keep your word. You know why I know? Because I taught them. I taught them. I taught them. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, oh, what a blessed name. What a wondrous name. Saving name, comforting name, strong name. A name that calms our fears, soothes our sorrows, drives away our fears. Oh, bless his name. Father, thank you for allowing us this evening, the day that you gave us. Thank you for the saints of God coming out to listen. We are so acutely conscious that this treasure is just in an earthen pot, but it's the treasure, not the pot. And Lord, who's sufficient for these things? But Lord, we love to speak of you, love to talk about you, and pray that you'd be glorified in what we say and what we do. Preserve and keep your dear people as they go their ways, go to their jobs, go to their homes. Keep the children, and Lord, cause the gospel to run well here among us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.